Live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
What a sad state of affairs. We're sitting here crossing our fingers waiting for it to be 42 degrees outside. It's just depressing. All right, now they're already starting the thaw watch. They're already starting the thing on KGW about what's going to happen as soon as... Now, beware of mudslides. They'll eat your bones.
Right. I think we're going to have to name Stormwatch 2004 the Wrath of God, the Big Thaw 2004.
It's a retarded name anyway. Winter... Well, they've still never been able to do any better than Winter Storm on KGW, which seems... It's like they were doing that... You read the Oregonian today. Peter Carlin is a great Carlin today. If Peter Carlin just took an axe to the local television media in the newspaper this morning, because they kept referring to it as a snow event, we're waiting for a snow event to come down, which I guess is similar to what everybody else just calls actual, you know, snow. I'm probably nitpicking. It's a Rick Emerson Show live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. We are here undaunted, unstoppable, irrevocable, and intractable. We are here doing what we do best because, I don't know, because we took time off a couple weeks ago, and, to even taking a few days off, it's just like twisting a knife slowly inside my soul because I'm just a creature of habit, just a loser. So here we are. It's 3 minutes, 51 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2004. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Coming up later on today, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten will be here from New York City, where it's warm and dry, relatively speaking. We got Clyde Lewis going to be stopping in later on today. Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Today's top five. Today, I went on the roads today, and it's... You know, as soon as three snowflakes fall from the sky, you just know that the roads are going to be desolate. You know, they're going to be completely bereft of any cars, anybody going anywhere. And I guess the Max isn't even running today.
No Max.
So there's nothing. That's one of those behaviors that you can just sort of learn to predict if you live in the Northwest for any period of time. I mean, I grew up a couple hours north of here, and, and I've been, here for 5 years or whatever. And there's certain aspects of Northwest life, and especially Portland culture, that you can just learn to see coming like a mile away. So later on today, we'll be counting down the biggest and best of those. Today, we have the top five ways you can spot that somebody is from the great Northwest. So that's... They don't call this the Inland Empire, do they? Is that just Spokane that's the Inland Empire?
No, Inland Empire is like... east of Orange County in California.
Yeah, but Spokane is also the Inland. They call that the Inland Empire. Maybe they're just making that up. Spokane just took that under the pretense that nobody else would notice. Because Cosmopolis was already taken.
Pretty soon they would call themselves metrosexuals.
Yeah. We got an update on the You Too Can Be the Voice of KOTK contest. That's coming up. We'll give you more details on that and so forth. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland for your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. And now, because we are here, because Rick Emerson cares enough to give you a live show on days when other people are shirking their God-given duty to provide entertainment to you, the people, we go to your personal savior, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be noon. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic to Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster, yeah. And he's not having it, the radio gangster, yeah. And he's not having it, the radio gangster, yeah.
And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I don't know where to start.
I have a pile of and a plethora of things here.
First of all, let me tell you this morning, at the YMCA in Barber Boulevard, first of all, there was nobody there. It was closed. The plastic bubble of a roof that's over the swimming pool collapsed. So that was that.
And there was palpable excitement on the part of the TV news people when it happened, too. You could hear the giddy, breathless anticipation with which they waited for video coverage of the roof caving in at the YWCA.
It really wasn't the roof. It was just a plastic bubble.
Yeah, it's not the thing they got out of the pool, right? Yeah.
Anyway, so let's begin our storm coverage with Storm B 2004, the Big Thaw. Thousands are stranded at PDX. No flights have departed today. None have arrived. And now, let's see here. So let's go down the list. Continental, canceling all flights today, Southwest. Was supposed to start at 2:30, but they're not going to at all, so you're stranded. Northwest Airlines might have flights up at 7 o'clock tonight. American West will try at 4. And United will be the first one. They're the bravest. They were going to try to get off the tarmac at 1:30.
Is that just because the tarmac's icy?
Icy.
Is that the whole reason?
Icy.
Okay.
Most of our problems are due to ice.
Basically. Yeah, but I mean, it's like if the road, if the landing strip or whatever wasn't icy, you can fly in this, right? There's no reason you can't fly.
No.
All right.
No. Also, listen to this. All FedEx deliveries are canceled for the first time in 30 years today.
Ah!
So all of our delivery friends have the day off.
Right. So when they canceled, yeah, I tried to...
I'm not sure if they were canceled yesterday, but they said this is the first time this has happened in like 30 years.
All right. Well, that's good. Of course, it has to be in the day that I'm trying to FedEx something. Thanks. I appreciate that.
So... Dave Thomas of ODOT says truckers now need to be chained up on the I-5 going through Portland.
We need to remind truckers that they need to chain up if they're from on I-5 from the just north of 99W, what we call Breeze Hill, where we have the separate truck lane for climbing up that hill, all the way over the Markham Bridge. And also, of course, chains are required for everyone from just south of Wilsonville to just south of Salem.
Hope you got that. Also, speaking of some of the roads, Marine Drive is still closed from 33rd to 185th. There's just a sheet of ice underneath the snow there. Highway 224 in both directions, closed from Barton to Carver due to downed trees. And we understand the I-5 southbound ramp to Marine Drive has been reopened after sanding, but the top of the ramp to southbound MLK remains closed. There are some vile rumors being circulated among the truck drivers today.
Somebody is spreading the rumor that... I-84 will reopen soon. Unfortunately, that is just not the case. So trucks are lining up at both Troutdale and at Hood River, thinking that they can get on the road quickly.
And Hood River says no more truckers. There are 3,000 big rigs in town, which is like 10 times bigger than the town itself.
Just parked there?
Just parked there.
Yeah.
So, but hotels are doing a booming business, let me tell you. Some of the other things, yes, there are long waits for buses. Sarah Dillon rode in on the bus today. As did this report, did you?
As did my, I did that as well, because the buses don't stop. It's like even the guy just emailed me about this. Like, how ironic is it that the MAX, which is supposedly the answer to everything, the high-tech mass transit of the future, which is going to solve all our problems, can't even run today for reasons that I'm not really, that I don't really understand. Because the MAX doesn't do the thing where it has the little power cable up above,
yeah.
Does it? Is that what the MAX does?
That's what the MAX is, yeah.
So is that why it can't go?
Right.
Yeah. And they've got ice on the line, ice on the track.
Oh, please. Can't you get some guy, get some, I don't know, can't you hire somebody to go out there and scrape that off?
I guess not.
For several hundred miles worth of track?
Oh, please. We've all got problems. They got guys out there that got to, ice the roads. I'm just saying. So take the bus, because the buses never quit running. This is, look, I'm not trying to say that you ought to leave your house and go to work for, like, $9 an hour, because I'll guarantee whoever you work for probably doesn't pay you enough for you, to leave the house. Like, you're some turnkey, some guy works for the city, and some guy works down at them. Whatever, Waikiki Willie's Taco Hut or whatever, it's probably not going to be worth your while to leave the house. But I'm saying if you got a job where you got to be there, it's something you got to do, you just get on the bus, man. This business of, oh, there's 4 inches of snow on the road, I can't get anywhere. Nobody in Ontario feels sorry for your lame ass. But there's snow! No one can get anywhere! Just lame is what they are. They're pussies. I'm here. Sarah's here. Tim's here. Matt, did you drive here?
Yeah.
Matt drove here. So, I mean, look, I guess all I'm saying, if you can stay home and get paid for it, hell, stay home and get paid for it. I'm not going to bust on you. But, I mean, if you really got to get somewhere, I'm not going to be this crap about it. You can't go somewhere because there's, you know, whatever. There's a third of a foot of snow on the ground outside. It's a bunch of crap. I mean, so you have to preheat your car a little bit. Buck up. Be a man. Just put on some shoes and get out there.
Back in the days when I was a cub reporter as a boy back in New Hampshire, we had tons of snow and... You had to go out and cover political candidates in the cold.
That's what I'm saying. Well, it's like we had Sarah didn't know where the bus stop was last night. Right? She'd never taken the bus before.
Yeah, you walked me to the bus stop.
Yeah,
I mean, it was my first day of school.
Yeah, it's no shame. I mean, she didn't know where the 14 was. She'd never taken it, right? So it's like, well, it's down on Madison. She's, well, are you going to show me how to get it? Like, yeah, fine. So, you know, you just put on your boots. You walk down there. You fall. You get up. You dust yourself off. You continue walking to the bus stop. You come back. You know, you thaw your nose a little bit, you get back to work. You be a man about it. I mean, if you got no reason to leave the house, then don't leave the house. You stay at home and, you know, whatever. Just stay home and wank the Cinemax or whatever you want to do. But I mean, if you got to leave the house, don't give me this crap that you can't do it. You know, just buck up. Where's the American frontier pioneer spirit? Stand up straight. Be proud. Be tall. Go out there and show the ice who's boss. It's just a dumb, you know, it's just a dumb, transparent, inanimate object on the ground. Just... You know, improvise, adapt, overcome.
Well, I found Jolie at the front desk. Well, the least dangerous route she could take home last night.
Yeah.
So she's standing waiting for her transfer on the corner, holding her scissors that she uses at the front desk as a weapon in case anyone tried to accost her, so she was safe.
Would she have to transfer in your neighborhood?
I guess so.
Give me your purse!
But she's standing there waving a pair of scissors around. Don't you dare come near me!
That's the St. John's greeting, but welcome to St. John's. Give me your wallet. Nobody gets hurt.
We got enough problems with that water main bursting in the rusted water.
Yeah. I got on the bus this morning. Guy didn't even charge me. I was sitting there waiting for the bus, and you know, the bus comes by, and I get, and it was just packed, man. It was like a Japanese subway in there. It was just filled with people. And there's that whole thing. Well, you all know this. If you drive the bus, especially when it gets crowded outside, the bus is crowded, and every time it stops and somebody wants to get on, like everybody in the bus just sort of groans, like stifles. You know, just a grimace underneath their breath because everybody's got a pack in there. And the guy, you know, I took out my $1.30 or whatever, and the guy said, no, everybody rides free today. You just get on board, you know. And got on there, and there was solidarity among the people. You know what I mean? We were bonding together to overcome old man winter.
Well, Mary Fetcher Trimet says there'll be no max service at all today.
We all need some heat. We need to melt out a little to get things moving again. And so we got crews out there trying to restore max service. I think it's just an effort to, you know, get it back as quickly as possible. Given the weather conditions, I think we're going to look at potentially having the max service back on the west side first before the east side because of those winds and everything. So the weather looking that west side may get the service first.
Right. And C-Trans a mess, too, so call them. You know the number in the book. Also,
go ahead. No.
So let's get to the utilities. Clark County, an estimated 2,000 Clark County utility customers are without power. The largest involves customers in the vicinity of Mill Plain Boulevard and Brant Road. Other outages are in the Harney and Evergreen Highway areas of Vancouver, Brush Prairie, and Hazel Dell. PG&E, wow, 47,000 people without power. That's horrible. The hardest hit areas, of course, East Multnomah County, Oregon City, Estacada, Molina, Molino, and the greater Salem area. As a matter of fact, the streetlights are out in Salem, and there was a fire in Salem about an hour ago. Well, they managed to get through the lights, but they couldn't get to the house due to the fact that it was at the top of an icy hill, so the house burned down.
Yeah, streetlights. How will you find your way to the strip clubs? And you know,
the strip club is closed down. Betsy called me this morning.
Now we know it's serious.
Yeah.
Now we know when Portland starts closing strip clubs, you know that something is we've gone to another level, that we've raised it to code red. We start closing any of the skin places around here.
So that's that. PGE spokesman Mark Freiberg tells Fox 12 how long we'll have to wait for the power to be restored.
Sometimes we don't know how bad the roads are or how bad the damage is until you get to the site, so we can't ever make a firm prediction. And as I said, roads being what they are, it could easily be 2 days.
Wow.
Hope not more, but for some of these customers,
wow,
especially in the more remote areas.
I'm shocked at this information that I see in the teleprompter in front of me that I knew you were going to be telling me when we got you on as a guest. I'm stunned.
And please, email us your cat pictures in the snow.
Did you see the...
You see the picture of the cat and the dog in the sleigh? Oh, that was so cute.
God damn, man. Goddamn people on television are stupid. You go back to Carlin's column. He was hitting on this morning, that the anchors are out there. The anchors are out there taking pictures of themselves and their pets in the snow. Because that's what people who turn on the television want to see, you know?
I think people do.
I'm not looking for hard news. I'm not looking for information. I'm looking for a picture of Anna Song playing outside with a hamster.
She's inside at a desk today.
Yeah.
Wearing glasses. I didn't even recognize her.
The fences are all covered. You can't put anything up.
Now let's see what else do we have here. Highway 22. Mudslides are no longer a problem. It was closed. Now Highway 22 is reopened. The Astoria Bridge has reopened thanks to warmer weather. And Oregon Highway 35 near Hood River is only closed to trucks, but cars can use it. So they would prefer cars to use chains, but, well, you're taking your own life in your own hands.
Can I just tell you this? I wouldn't even know how to put chains on. You put a gun to my head. I wouldn't know how to put chains on my car. I was telling Sarah this last night. Here's the thing.
You lived in, like, Spokane and the Tri-Cities and stuff. How can you not
I've never put chains on. I've never needed chains to drive. I have never once needed chains on my car, ever. Ever. I have never required chains to get where I'm going to. Now, I will tell you, there was one time, and in my life, I've gotten stuck once. There was one time that my car got stuck, and it was impounded. There was just no way I could get out. I lived in Spokane when there was the biggest snowfall since 1912, I think it was. This would have been in the early 90s. And so when I lived in Spokane, there was the biggest snowfall in 79 years. And, yeah, I got stuck there. Nobody was moving anywhere because it was – I mean, it wasn't a matter of traction then. It's literally the snow drifts were like 9 feet high. There was just – the snow was literally higher than your car. There was no way to drive. But I have never needed chains to get around anywhere. Chains are only, you know, the thing is, chains are only necessary in one of two scenarios. A, if you're going up, you know, Pikes Peak or whatever, if you're driving up some big-ass hill, or if you feel like you need to drive quickly. I was explaining this to Sarah last night. You know, your car, people are, I got to put snow in the back of my car. Well, Matt was talking about that. I mean, if you got a light little vehicle, but you know, the thing is, your car weighs 2,000 pounds. Your car doesn't need to be any heavier to get anywhere. All you need to do is be willing to drive slowly. I was telling, we were talking about this last night, we were going to the bus stop, that these people, I can't drive home, but I'm not going to be able to. The thing is, if you're willing to drive 15 miles an hour, you can get anywhere you need to go safely. It's that these a-holes get there, and they're driving slowly, they're driving safely, they're getting where they need to go, and then they just start to ramp it up, and they start to go 20 miles an hour, and 25, and 30, and 50, and then they end up wrapped around a telephone pole like a goddamn moron.
Or else taking somebody else out.
Yeah, you're running over a family of 12. If you're willing to drive slow and steady, you can get anywhere you need to go in your car, and you don't necessarily need the chain up. I've been driving for 15 years, and I'm not trying to be macho about it. I'm just saying I drive sensibly. I drive slowly. You know what? Remember when you were in school and they taught you something called the basic speed rule? And the basic speed rule says you don't go any faster than your car can handle under existing weather conditions. That's what it is, man. You're willing to drive slow. You don't need to go to Fred Meyer and blow any money on chains. That is all ye know and all ye need know. There you go. We'll be back. We got the Gary Baumgarten coming up later on. Clyde Lewis, more of your phone calls today's top five. It's on the way. Stay there. Talk 1080 KFTK.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sarah dealing with the traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is, what's today? Wednesday, right? Or Tuesday? The hell is today?
Wednesday.
It's all drifting together in one big whitewash of time and space and sound that merges together like a big merging thing. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
I love New York City.
It's our man in New York, CNN radio correspondent and god of the journalistic world, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Hey, I was in your fine city over the holiday. I didn't know where.
And you didn't look me up.
I don't know from Baumgarten. I got nothing. It's not like you're in the phone book or anything.
Well, you know, that's why you have producers.
Yeah, I know. But then I have to talk to him. And the whole point of me being in New York is that I'm hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
So
that's true, but we could have gone out and had a good time, sipped a few soda pops.
It's true. I actually, on New Year's Eve, it occurred to me that I should just go look for Anderson Cooper, because I know he was doing that thing in Times Square. But then we had this brilliant idea, right? We're thinking, well, we'll stay in a real rat hole the first few nights that we're there, save a little money, and then the last night we'll be in Times Square. So the last night we were at this place called the Crown Plaza, which is,
Oh, it's a very phenomenal place.
It's a nice place. And so we kind of scrimped the first week or so, and then we stayed there. But we didn't realize that 850,000 people downtown means you can't really get out and go wandering. So they tend to close
especially
that
when they have a lockdown because of the terrorist alerts and everything.
It's a bad scene. So the next time, but we're going to go back at some point. We're going to go back soon. I'm a big fan of your town. I mean, it's just, I got to wait long enough for the fat to come back off of me after the big eating that I did. Just
right.
9 days of Italian food being shoved into my mouth like I was a backhoe. You know what I mean?
You know, it's really interesting. You mentioned there were 850,000 people crammed there, and there was not one single arrest. Isn't that amazing?
Well, and not one single arrest and not one single toilet either. Where do those people take a whiz?
You know, I think that if they leave where they are at to go to take a whiz, when they come back, they have to go to the back of the line. You can't go back into the pen close to where the ball drops like you were before. So I guess maybe that's why they jump up and down so much when the ball falls,
as soon as the ball hit and it was 2004 and everybody sang Auld Lang Syne, then, everybody was just heading immediately for the subway because it's like, I got to get home to the bathroom, because there was
nothing. Right.
And you always have this idea of Times Square being filled with sort of drunken nitwits, but that wasn't even the case either because there's no alcohol, no containers, no packages. It's a lot more sedate than people think.
Right.
Hey, let me ask, speaking of New York, I know you guys have finalized this World Trade Center thing, this memorial, and it's the one tower and two reflecting pools? Is that what you're going to do?
Right, there could be two reflecting pools that will mirror the footprints of the original Twin Towers. Now, it was not really well received when it was unveiled with the seven other finalists in November, but I think that's because of how stark and sterile it looked. And what they've done is, we're told, bring in a landscaping architect, some renowned landscaping architect, to add some greenery to it. So when we actually see it unveiled, the announcement came yesterday, but we haven't seen the final product. I believe that'll be Tuesday. When it's unveiled, I'm anticipating that it'll be a more sedate, serene surrounding than what we now see in the model that was originally rendered.
Well, and it's the whole place is just so sterile right now. I mean, if you go there now, the ground zero. I mean, it's just, it just looks like a generic construction site. It's like nothing was ever even there. So,
exactly.
So I mean, it's like, hey, and somebody handed this to me. Is it true that in New York, that McDonald's is going to start, they're going to put like a big poster up noting how much fat and how many carbs are in their meals and I'm reading now from the CNN thing, with suggestions on how to modify the menu to be more healthy?
Yeah, so, for example, it suggests that you forego the hash brown.
Does it suggest just...
It comes with the meal.
Does it suggest just going somewhere else?
If you say, hold the hash brown, they don't give you a break. You still pay the full amount for the meal.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, and I don't want to bust on McDonald's. I've certainly spent, enough. I've spent enough man hours at McDonald's shoveling things, into my face. But it seems like, it's one of those things where part of the, living in America is sometimes you just want to eat stuff that's bad for you. Sometimes you just want to eat things that are fatty. It's like you go in and you just shovel those fries down because they're, because they're crispy and they're filled with, crap that's going to make your ass big, but that's okay. That's just one of the things that makes them great. Not everything has to be, not everything has to be healthy. Not everything has to taste like Formica. Are you with me?
Yeah, but the thing is, this gives you the choice.
Yeah.
Now, supposedly we're too stupid to figure out for ourselves that stuff's fattening. So they have to put up on the poster board. Actually, this is a result of a number of lawsuits that have been filed, and they're trying to obviate further lawsuits. And legal experts are hoping that this will go nationwide, and the other fast food chains will follow McDonald's lead.
Seriously, if you can't figure out that two or three deep-fried McDonald's apple pies are bad for your ass, then we might as well just kick you out to sea in a garbage scow.
Well, it's like, remember the lawsuit also involving McDonald's, involving the coffee?
Right.
I mean, are you so stupid that you don't know that coffee is hot?
What do you mean? I have to drink this hot? What are you talking about?
Hey, exactly.
And finally, Tim Riley just handed me this. I'm reading this from the AP, I guess. New York, the city's New York's Animal Welfare Agency has decided to change all its official documents to rename pit bulls New Yorkies.
Yes, they want to give them a more a less aggressive name, and so they're calling them Yorkies, as in New Yorkies, as opposed to pit bulls, because the poor pit bull has been so maligned that this is an opportunity for people to look at the little creatures with a new view that is, you know, less aggressive. So you don't expect the dog to be aggressive. So where nobody in their right mind would pet a pit bull.
Yeah. I think we should...
Since it's a New Yorkie, you can pet that pit bull, and you can count your fingers on your hand, and you'll still have fun.
I think we can just start renaming. We can start calling handguns Detroities or something.
Yeah.
From them.
Since I'm from Detroit, I can recognize exactly where that's coming from.
That's what I'm talking
about.
But
you're going to get cards and letters. I don't have anything against pit bulls. Okay? I just want to make that clear.
All right. It's duly noted for the record. There you go. The CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten, in New York City. It says, and the final liner says, it's hoped that the animal change, or the image change, will encourage people to adopt the thousands of pit bulls taken in by the shelter each year.
We're babies. Killing people.
Because they've eaten somebody's toddler.
Yeah, all right, whatever you say.
Here's Tim Riley in the KTK newsroom.
A prominent Portland defense attorney has filed a request for a new trial for Kip Kinkle. Lawyer Larry Matizar argues that Kinkle's original defense team knew that their client was insane, but chose to accept a plea bargain instead of going to trial. As a 15-year-old, well, we know what he did.
And holes in his brain. That's what Kip Kinkle's got. His big hole. They ought to just be able to call that. Like, have you seen that thing on the... Have you seen the thing that PBS did? They did a whole thing about
kids. Kip Kinkle's brain.
I am Kip Kinkle's brain. It was a whole thing where they just showed, like, a CAT scan or whatever, an MRI, whatever the hell that is. And it's just... You know, it's like bad cheese, man. It's just all these, there's like all these just huge nickel-sized holes in the guy's brain. That ought to be your defense. You ought to be able to just have like big holes in my brain defense. Your Honor, we will be using the big holes in my brain defense. You know, and then just hold up the picture. Here you go. And it looks like, looks like ratty cheesecloth or something. All right, we'll go ahead. Let's go do this. We'll go to break. We'll come back.
Brittany Watch.
We have Brittany Watch.
Mad Cow Update.
On the way. Mad Cow Update. Jolie from the front desk. And later on, Clyde Lewis will be in here as well as today's Top 5. Top 5 ways that you can spot someone is from the Northwest. Stay there. We'll be back at Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson. Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon's got the trip.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Time now for Brittany Watch. Well, the guy who took pictures of Britney Spears and Jason Alexander the night they got married was paid $100,000 for one picture and possibly another $100,000 for another. Meanwhile, Alexander has signed on with a high-powered PR firm to handle any offers that might come his way.
That guy's a full-on hick, too. I read some interviews with him, and he was using a lot of the "we done did got married" lingo. So,
oh, that's so sad.
And it didn't sound like a put-on either. It sounded like that was the way that the verbiage just sort of naturally leaves his mouth.
Yep. That was a gene pool that lad inherited.
Nothing like homespun folksy charm to woo the women with.
Now, Alexander's been offered $1 million for the video of him and Spears saying their I do's. Meanwhile, here he is again. He tells Access Hollywood the decision to tie the knot in Vegas last Saturday was a spur-of-the-moment act that opened a floodgate of controversy when the word got out.
So we went ahead and did the whole thing, and we got back to the room, and we decided that's when we needed to tell everybody what we done did. And then that's when all hell broke loose.
What we done did.
I wonder if they consummated their relationship.
No, we've got news on. No, we've got. You just listen to the rest of the Brittany Watch.
She wasn't married.
Don't go counting your chickens till we've read the whole rest of the thing. But you know, you got. I'll save you.
Go ahead.
We'll finish this and then I'll make my observation.
He says he and the pop star decided to annul their marriage after realizing the mistake they made.
We realized that what we did wasn't probably the right thing we should have done, and wasn't the right way to go about it, and that we needed to fix the problem that the mistake we had made. So that's where the annulment came in, and we got the annulment.
Annulment. You know, everything in the South starts or ends with an apostrophe. I mean, that's annulment. Apostrophe N-U-L-L-M-E-N apostrophe. Annulment.
He's a good American.
He really is.
The New York Post brought in a handwriting expert, Taylor Morgan, to analyze Spears' signature on the marriage license. She was on Entertainment Tonight last night, I think. And he decided that the marriage was not consummated. Brittany wasn't feeling physical, Morgan said, explaining that the Y in Brittany indicated she was not in a sexy state.
So the handwriting expert says no snogging for Brittany and her beau of the guy.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either. She's a hoe. We all know that's the case. There's your Brittany watch.
Oh, not yet.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, we got more. For the first time ever, she's on the cover of Blender magazine. Senior editor Clark Cullis made her the big story because the 22-year-old is a hot commodity.
Well, I mean, she's a huge star. I think she's a star that we probably. Perhaps should have had on the cover before, and perhaps, I mean, we've been going 3 years, and perhaps in the very early days the opportunity didn't arise. And she, you know, she's got a new album out. And actually the album, what's interesting is the album is selling really well. I mean, it's sold 1.6 million in the last 10 weeks.
Now she can poke fun of herself.
I don't think it's going to damage her. I mean, I see her sort of turning up on a show like Saturday Night Live, as Paris Hilton did a couple of weeks ago, to sort of, you know, poke fun at her problems. And I think, you know, if she handles it like that, then actually, as big a news story as it seems now, in 6 months' time, people may barely be able to remember it, to be honest with you.
I'm telling you right now, in 10 years, we all know Britney Spears, 10 years, going to be fat, drunk, living in the South. Britney Spears is the Elizabeth Taylor, I think, of our time. You remember when Elizabeth Taylor, I mean, I don't remember, but I mean, it was the case. You see the pictures and you see the films and whatnot. And it was a time when Elizabeth Taylor was just, it's hard to believe now that Elizabeth Taylor was just the huge, just amazing sex symbol that she was. I mean, there was a time when Elizabeth Taylor was, you know, one of the most attractive women.
Late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a bombshell in every sense of the word. But it's like, you see Elizabeth Taylor now, she just... You know, it's like John Belushi with a Liza Minnelli wig on. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. And she, you know, it's just picture sitting there just horking down a whole chicken, you know, just one after another. Just 3-4 Cornish game hens at a stretch during an interview. And that's what Britney's going to be. Britney's going to go home. She's going to start putting down the Southern Comfort. She's going to blow it up, and she's going to retreat inside a walled-up mansion for like 10 years. And then she's going to reemerge in, I don't know, like Demi Moore style when she's about 40, and she'll do a big comeback. I'm predicting it right now.
That's today's Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch.
Well, Steve Irwin is still up for Australian of the Year, even though he took his month-year-old son with him to feed that crocodile. Australia's state premier says he won't take back Irwin's nomination. He said he's still one of the best ambassadors Australia has ever had.
All right. My whole thing about the South is this, though. With the guy, and then we had to go and tell everybody what we done did. It's like, you know, they've got schools there. I mean, I know that they've got textbooks, right? I mean, they know how to, presumably they know how to read. It just makes you wonder how things like that creep into the lexicon in that place. I mean, he's from, what town is he from? Something? Lickskillet, Louisiana, or wherever he's from. Bum Scratch, Arkansas, someplace. It's like you like to think that those things are unfair stereotypes. You like to think that maybe the South gets unfairly maligned as being the province of dimwits and retards.
Someday you could become president.
But then you hear that guy just adding extraneous one-syllable words to all of his sentence like so many bako bits. You know, and it makes you wonder. Rick, the subject line of this email is KGW TV sucks. Rick, why the hell do you watch Channel 8 anyway? Is it because you feel they're a bunch of nimwits, or does Dave Selesky make you feel warm inside? You should be a friend to Richard Nunn and watch Fox 12. At least they have beautiful ladies like Kelly Day and that new weather chick, Christy. Who's Christie's? How many know the new weather chick, Christie's?
She's Richard's replacement.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on.
What channel is that, 12?
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't be on right now.
Really?
That's too bad. She was only on the Good Day Lifestyle.
All right. Yeah, you should watch Fox 12. That way you can get a good wanking while being informed. Okay. P.S. I'll send you an anniversary edition of the classic Atari games if you switch. Mark and Kaiser. Well, there you go. Consider it switch, my friend. Yeah, no, I was only watching KGW because it was on. I think Dave Paul had it on KGW this morning, so it just sat there. Although, as we switched over from KGW, they were there at an airport pointing a camera down at some people sitting in chairs. Just, you know, in case you're not really able to grasp what the phrase "people are sitting here unable to move" means, they decided to convey it to you with a compelling visual image of people doing nothing. Here's Tim Riley.
But the best part was when they showed the guy get stuck in the snow trying to get out of the drive-up at Taco Bell.
There was this guy earlier.
The only person driving
was a guy. You know, and the fact that we can't get anything else, or like the Max can't even run, but you can go get a gordita, you know? And so there's some guy in like, you know, some guy in a Honda Civic, you know, to drive through at the Taco Bell.
A rabbit or something.
It's not able to. Does Taco Bell advertise with us?
No.
No, they don't.
All right, but it's like, you know, it's really tempting to observe that maybe if he didn't eat at Taco Bell quite so frequently, his ass wouldn't be so enormous and his car might actually be able to, you know, to get somewhere. But, you know, what an embarrassing place to be stuck. It's like right through, you know, it's like being stuck at the free clinic or something. You're stuck right there at the drive-thru, you know, with, you know, your seven-layer burrito dip in one hand and your stick shift in the other.
Ah, there's that Taco Bell again.
Yeah.
Time for the Mad Cow update anyway. Well, the USDA says all 449 calves that were quarantined because of the mad cow disease have been killed. A spokesman said the carcasses will be shipped to a landfill in South Central Washington, but they'd be more than happy to accept it.
I know what that means. I know what that code South Central Washington means. I've lived here long enough. I know what they're talking about. They don't need to soft soap it for me.
By the way, they didn't send them back to Canada where they came from.
Oh, godless Canadians.
That's today's mad cow update.
Like, no matter whatever the problem is, the solution is just bury it in Kennewick. It doesn't matter, you know, man. It could be radioactive meteorites from Mars. Could be, you know, cows that are stricken with Ebola. It doesn't matter. Just ship it off to Rick's hometown and bury it there. Everybody there's got a defective thyroid anyway. You might as well just speed up the process.
Well, the West Wing is on tonight, and John Goodman returns as the ex-president. He talks about the hardest part of playing ex-president Walken.
Trying not to step on my tongue when I deliver these lines. No, they're very precise. Everything about the language is very precise and careful, and it's very intimidating. But it's such a pleasure to work. I get to work with James Cromwell and Martin Sheen a couple days ago. Just the people involved. Everybody has fun.
What is the plot of this episode?
An ex-president died, so they gather all the ex-presidents together for a funeral. There's a little debate amongst the president and Jamie Cromwell and myself as to what to do over the Middle East situation.
You gotta focus. Think about what he's talking about.
How long do we have? Just a few seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have time to do this. So when we come back, we'll get... I think Sarah's just hit random letters on the keyboard.
No, that's really his name.
Gawain? Okay, so G-W-A-Y-N-E. What, did your parents lose a bet or something? All right, well, we'll find out. We come back. Gawain, it says, the description is, from the South, resents you, presumably meaning me. So, okay, we'll talk to Gawain. Something like having a...
That's like, for the land where people are named X-Lax.
Gawain, is that like something you store in a Gawain tower? Which serves like a Gawain elevator, where you put what your people call Gawain and my people call...
Well, they don't know if they're going to name him Glenn or Wayne.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll talk to the G-Man here when we come back. Plus, coming up in the second hour of the show, we got the Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Clyde Lewis will be stopping in. In the third hour, we got today's top five. Top five ways that you can spot someone is from the Northwest. You stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Jim Riley. You can win a $45,000 Mastercraft X5 wakeboarding boat at Hat Trick Thursday with your Winterhawks. Be at the Rose Garden this Thursday night for $2 hot dogs, sodas, and more. Tickets at Ticketmaster or Winterhawks.com. The Portland Airport, a nightmare. Thousands are stranded because no flights departed today. Few got out yesterday, and most already canceled flights today. Ice on power lines causing more than 45,000 PGE customers to sit in the dark. And 2,000 more are without power in Clark County. The utilities beg you not to start poking at power lines and try to get the ice off. Warmer weather opening up some roads that were closed. Highway 22 now open as mudslides have been cleared. Forecasters predicting freezing and cold rain in the Willamette Valley today with a high of 33 degrees. Hopefully it'll get warmer. Should be up to 45 next couple days, so they say. I'm Tim Riley. This storm report brought to you by J&M Body Shops.